All right. Well, anyhow, let's go ahead and get started. As you can see, we're in part 11 of this particular topic. We've been starting off on Ephesians, so let's just go there and get started in Ephesians and go to chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now we'll hold up there, but what you notice at the beginning here, and I've made note of this to help promote the thought that I'm getting across here, is that it talks about being in Christ, then in him. And so I've heard, you know, a number of preachers will say and preach on topics about us being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My question would be, is that statement there, is that a metaphor? Is that a parable? Or is it a valid point? Is it applicable to us? Can you as a believer lay claim to the fact that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ?
Yes.
Absolutely you can. Why? Not because you're good, not because you live right, but because you're in him. And that's the point I want to get across. So when you go through your Bible, or rather Paul's writings, you'll see a lot of things that are attributed to us in him. In Christ, in God, in him, in whom, or in the beloved. They're all stated to some degree like that. So whenever you see that in him, you can see that you're part of that and you are a partaker of that. So, having said all that, let's turn back to Romans 5. We've spent a little bit of time here in Romans chapter 5. And what I have tried to do for a number of weeks here, not the entire series, but the last couple of weeks, I've tried to express a difference between Adam and, of course, Christ. Adam and Christ. And so there are things that, just as much as we can see the things for us that are in Christ, we also can see some things that were attributed to us, not in our favor, not in good standing, as being in Adam. The worst part of it, being in Adam, can be found Romans 5, verse 21. That is, sin hath reigned unto death. Now, sin has reigned unto death. Go to verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience. Now, who is that one man? That's Adam. Many were made sinners. So we're made sinners because of his disobedience. So if you're in Adam, you're made a sinner. So let's just follow the trail a little bit when you get down to verse 21. That is, sin hath reigned unto what? Death. So what brings forth death? Sin. This is really, I don't want to say this and sound condescending, but this is very elementary stuff. You know, it's very simple. And if we keep it simple through the process, you'll be amazed at how God will open your eyes to the truth about being in him, in Christ. So we see that sin hath reigned unto death. Now, it's interesting about reign, and I'm going to mention it again. Reigning has to be, or has to do with, having superior power. I mean, superior is a top-tier power. So, sin reigns unto death. Can anybody today live a life without sin? You can't do it. Religion tries to get you out of sin by processes. You know, making Jesus the Lord of your life. I mean, that's the standard fundamental teaching. Invite Jesus into your heart, make Him the Lord of your life. Repent of your sins. Well, if you weren't a sinner, why would you have to repent of them? So that's a failed concept right there. And then living a new life, giving up all those old habits and all of those things. Well, that's never going to clean you out of sin, get sin out of you. Sin is going to reign in you and ultimately lead to death. Now, when he says death there, it's not just about your physical dying. Yeah, sin brought about the physical death of man. But the death there has to do with a condemnation, a damning of an individual. And it reigns until that point. So sin hath reigned unto death. And then he says in verse 21, the other half, is so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So you have Adam, where sin is existent unto death. You have Christ, where there is no sin, unto life. I mean, these are two polar opposites. They'll never cross. They'll never meet. They'll never run close parallels to each other. They're totally opposite one of the other. Kind of like Sunday, when I was making the address on Sunday. If you remember, I talked about darkness and what? Light. Those are two polar opposites. There's no dim switch. There's no dawning or dusk. None of those things. In the Bible, you deal with darkness, you deal with light. You're not half out of Adam and half in Christ, or out of Adam but not in Christ. There's no in-between ground. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. If you're in Adam, then you have sin attributed to you, and sin reigns unto what? Death. So God, what does He do? Back in the day with Adam, He created Adam. Was Adam created corrupt? No. God's not going to create corruption. That's not God's nature. So when He created Adam, did Adam have any sin? No. But you know what He did? He gave him one command. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One command. Did Adam keep it? So He gave him a command, and he didn't keep it. So the end result of his disobedience, sin entered into Adam. And since the seed is passed down, guess what came with the seed? Sin. So it's passed down to all of us. So what does He do in Exodus 20? He gives the law to Moses. So I know what I'll do. I'll give a law. I'll give commandments. I'll give statutes and ordinances. Did they keep that? So here we go. We're in the dispensation of God today. So what is God going to do with a world of sinners to satisfy righteousness? Is He going to give us a command? We couldn't keep it back then. Man didn't keep it. Is He going to give us a law? I don't mean to point to Christ, but a law as He did with Moses? Did man keep that? No. So that's off the board. That's off the board. So how does He satisfy taking care of the sin that reigns unto death with us being in Adam? How does He take care of it? You say Jesus Christ, but that doesn't tell me anything. Jesus Christ was made sin for us. But that, how does that alleviate my sin? Turn to Colossians and look in Colossians. I'm going to show you what God came up with as an answer for our sins. This body of sin that we possess. If I said, if you're saved in here tonight, raise your hand. How many of you could raise your hand? If I said, you that raise your hand and you're saved, how many of you are sinners? Raise your hand. Well, it didn't seem like the salvation took good effect on you, did it? You bunch of sinners. I didn't know I was coming to church with a bunch of sinners, else I wouldn't have come. So even being saved, what does that do to alleviate the nature that we have from Adam? God had to do something to remedy the Adamic nature that we were born with. He can't give us a commandment, a law, a rule, because we can't follow it. He gave the Jews the law. Nobody except Jesus Christ Himself kept the law without any blemish to His record. So those are off. We take those off the table. So what could He do with this Adamic nature that man had? Look in Colossians chapter 2. He says in Colossians 2 verse 10, "And you are complete in Him, which is ahead of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now that has gobs of stuff in it that we've got to talk about, and I can't go into the great detail that it would really command, but we're going to cover these verses. First of all, Paul says something in verse 11 that is completely and totally unheard of before he wrote it. It does not exist before he wrote it or revealed it. Verse 11. "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." What is a circumcision, by the way? Like if you consider a circle, what is the measurement called around the exterior? Circumference. It's around. The circumference of something is around. Well, circumcision is off of that word. But it has to do with the flesh. In Genesis 17, God commanded Moses by giving him a covenant. It is the covenant of circumcision, and it was to... Abraham, Genesis 17, he gave the covenant of circumcision to Abraham and his seed after him. And it was a circumcision of the foreskin of the males born after the seed of Abraham, and they were to perform the circumcision when they were 8 days old. That was a covenant. And the circumcision was a token that God made with Abraham. It was a sign that God made with Abraham. Now that was a circumcision that was made with what? Hands. It's not till you get to Paul, thousands of years later, where he reveals this beautiful mystery that nobody knew about. And this kind of goes back to Sunday's message, actually. But nobody knew about it. And in verse 11 he says, "Once again, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." So there's now a circumcision without hands. So it's removed from the Jewish practices of the law. It's removed from that covenant. Because remember, the Ephesians and these Colossians were strangers from the covenants of promise. So these were uncircumcised Gentiles. So when he said the circumcision made without hands, my guess is there was a whew, in the sense, I don't know how anesthesia worked back then, but if you're not 8 years old, like Titus, 8 days old, like Titus, he was not compelled to be circumcised. But what I mean by them being relieved is them seeing that they didn't have to go under the ordinances and the covenants and the practices of the Jews' religion to stand in a favorable state with God. That this circumcision, made without hands, is something different and far better than what Abraham had. Why? Because it addresses the Adamic nature that we have in this life. Okay. It addresses the Adamic nature that we have in this life. So he says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now what was that circumcision made without hands? What was the cutting away about? He tells you after the comma. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He goes further and says in verse 12, buried with him in baptism. So then that tells me that when Christ hung on the cross, you have the body of Christ in this age, starting with Paul to the last person that'll get saved. Everybody born in this time, and not just this time, but we're focusing in now on this time. Everybody born in this time, this dispensation of God, is born in Adam. However, God foreknowing that because we're born in Adam, there is nothing that can be done to get sin out of man. Nothing can be done. He had to come up with some operation to remedy that issue, that problem. And he did. So Paul says that we have, by the Spirit, been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. There we go. By the Spirit. When Christ hung on the cross, everybody from Paul to the last person that will trust in Jesus Christ until the end of this age, whenever that is, everybody, the entire group of us from different centuries were baptized into Jesus Christ. Yes. In AD 33, we were baptized into Jesus Christ. Being placed in Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, was buried, and descended where there's prophecy about his soul going to hell. He comes back up and re-enters that body. That body is then quickened. It's made alive. Do you know what gets rid of sin in your body? What? You got it. Death. You can't repent of it. You can't stop it. You can't confess it. Can't live a life without it. The only way it can be rid in your life is death. And God didn't want you to die with sins to your account. Because sin reigns unto death, and not just your physical death. That's why Revelation 20, death and hell were brought up before the white throne. It reigns unto that point. So God in His mercy and His great love for us master planned a program whereby, based upon His foreknowledge, he could lay out a gospel for us based upon Christ's willingness to go to the cross, die for our sins, being buried, and then raised up. He could then, by his power, take all that he knew that would be in this body and place us all into the body of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, guess what died? Sin. So he goes down into hell. His soul suffers the consequence of that. And he's raised back up and he goes back into his body. So I see a man hanging on the tree that was made sin for us, that was accursed. And then I see a man raised up after the resurrection, and Mary goes to touch him, and he says, "Touch me not, I've not ascended to my Father." Then something happened within that transition to the sin nature that Jesus Christ became when he was on the cross. It had to. It had to. Because they took his body down and they carried it to the tomb. Well, they didn't do anything to the body, but when his soul came back up into there, the Bible says he became a quickening spirit. That body came back to life, and it was a different body which had no sin in it because it died. God brought it back to life. Now, I say all that. Have you lost the vision? The vision that all that happened to Christ happened to you. He cut this flesh away in the process of Christ dying on the cross, being buried, and then raised back up. There was a cutting away of the flesh, the sinful flesh, and it took place in death. For instance, you work at a factory, say. I mean, there's power machines, there's fast-moving machines. It's loud, it's busy. And there's warning signs. Be careful, look above, watch your step. Yellow stripes where you got to stay outside the bounds. And you get careless one day, you're working heavy machinery, and all of a sudden that thing gives and it ripped your finger off. And that finger goes through the process of the machine, and there ain't nothing but shreds over there. What do you think happens to the flesh of that finger, ultimately? It dies. That's why I said it didn't just cut off, they ice it down, then it gets re-sewn. No. It went and was cut off. And what did it do? It died. When you cut off the flesh, guess what happens to it? It died. Guess what died with it? So God took care of this thing in a manner that man never saw, understood, could even figure out before Paul wrote it down. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. You know, most operations, when you get a patient in there that's been in some type of accident, and they flatline, they do everything they can to bring your life back, right? They bring you into the operating room, and the doctors get busy on you, and they do what they can to bring you back to life. God's operation was just the opposite. He took the patients and put them to death. It's a little weird. But he could do that. Why? Because he knew he could bring them back to life in Christ. Why? It just said it. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. I love that. Operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, if he raised him from the dead, and you're in him, in Christ, were you raised from the dead? Colossians 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Watch verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. God identifies the Adamic nature that we had to be dead. Now, why would He do such a thing? Because He can kill the sin that's in the body of the sins of the flesh. And He did it through the circumcision of Jesus Christ. We went through that process with Jesus Christ. So going through that process, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have He quickened together. In other words, there's the dichotomy of it. Being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision in your flesh, hath He quickened together by Him? With Him. Having forgiven you all trespasses. So I see the trespasses and forgiveness of them are based upon the fact that we trusted in Christ and were circumcised with Jesus Christ and then quickened with Jesus Christ, even though we live in a body right now. And you guys raised your hands. I said, are you saved? You raised your hand. I said, do you commit sin? You raised your hand. Yeah, we all do. Why? Because that old man. And oh, by the way, the word Adam in Paul's epistles appears 7 times as Adam. But you know what else appears without the word Adam but directs towards Adam? Old man. Natural man. All of those are relative to those that are in Adam. Those that are in Adam. For instance, look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, verse 6. Not quite sure about this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Is that how your Bible reads? Well, maybe that our old man is crucified with Him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified by Him. See, folks, you can have preachers that will twist this thing up and they'll run it so fast that the congregation misses it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Well, when was Jesus Christ crucified? Back in A.D. 33. We'll hold to that because that's a standard date figure that is always given. That's when He was crucified. Were you crucified with Him? So when were you crucified? Over here or over here? Don't want to answer, do you? I mean, come on, you had to be if you were with Him, alongside Him is what with indicates. That's why I use the word by. This isn't by Him. It's not a process that we receive today because it happened 2,000 years ago. We were there 2,000 years ago in Him being crucified with Him. Paul said, knowing this, you got to know it, crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be reformed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That it might be destroyed. Are you in Him? Then what happened to the body of your sins? It was destroyed. Paul said through the gospel to Timothy that he has abolished death. Well, if you abolish death, what brought forth death? Sin. Romans 5:21. Sin reigned unto what? Death. So if you abolish death, what did you have to take care of? Sin. And He took care of sin through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Because you're still capable of serving sin, by the way. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Can I get an amen? If you're dead, you're free from sin. So I said at the start of this thing, the only answer for God to get rid of sin in our life is to kill us. Be put to death. And that's what happened in A.D. 33. We were crucified where? With Christ. You died with Christ. And he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So if you're dead with Christ, do you believe that when this body ultimately dies, that you're going to go be with the Lord and live with him? No doubt about it. Knowing, verse 9, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. He will never die again. So if you're in him, will you ever face death? So, what brings forth death? So God eliminated the sin in your existence for all eternity. You'll never have to face death again because you won't face sin again. For in that, verse 10, that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. God took care of the sinful body by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and by placing us in him. I heard a tenured, rightly dividing preacher ask people, when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, were you there? He goes, no, you weren't there. It was 2,000 years ago. None of you look 2,000 years old. Do what? You bathed up real good, didn't you? You clean up good, Jimmy. He said, were you there? No, that was 2,000 years ago. You weren't there. And I was like, what? What did he just say? You're kidding me, right? The first verse that came to my mind when he said that was Galatians 2. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians 2, the first verse, when he said you weren't there, that came to my mind was Galatians 2, verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ. He didn't say I was crucified by Christ. I'm crucified with him. Why? Because we, this body of believers, have been baptized into his death. We were buried with him, and we were also quickened with him. And as he was raised up, he was set at God's right hand. So where are you now? Right hand of God. So I'll ask you this. When Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, were you there with him? You better believe you were. Do you realize how many verses that Paul wrote that you would have to deny by making that claim? I couldn't believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. You're kidding me. Well, I can answer for myself. I was there. I was on the cross. I was buried. And I'm quickened. I'm raised up. Knowing this. Paul addressed this throughout his epistles about the benefit of the church, the body of Christ, being placed in Christ, or in God, or in him, or in whom, or in the beloved. So in one hand, yeah, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen! And you were crucified with him, buried and raised again, but you weren't there with him. What? Bad stuff going on, guys, just letting you know. This is such a beautiful truth. this whole positioning of the body of Christ, the believers in Christ, and what God has done for us in Him. Well, you can just imagine the devil doesn't want the world to know about it. Because if you remove it, it puts all accountability and responsibility on your end to do right and live right, to be made accepted. Well, he didn't say that in Ephesians 1. He said, we have been made accepted. Where? In the Beloved. Are you in Him? Then you're made accepted. Not made accepted because you're in Adam. You're made accepted because you're in who? Christ. And so when we come out with Jesus Christ in the resurrection and go up there with Him, He presented to Him a church, a body, without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. This is a pure and holy church and will never be stained by sin again. Because you're in Him. That's where all the security lies. Well, I don't believe in eternal security. Well, you're a fool. You're not only a fool, you're ignorant of the truth of the Word of God. You get in there and you read about what's going on in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, you'll see the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's referring to when he talks about the heavenly spiritual blessings, is all of those things we have in Jesus Christ. So, well, that about wraps up tonight. Sorry for the delay for those of you watching the stream and everything. So, join us next time. Night.